Matthew chapter 16. The conversation remains the same. I think we overlook the simplicity. I think who we are is clearer and simpler than what we've been trying to do. You understand that statement? I said again, who we are is clearer or simpler than what we've been trying to do. So we've been trying to make everything happen the way that we've been taught that they're supposed to happen. We're trying to do all the things, make all the steps, jump all the hurdles, jump through all the hoops, do all the things right. But you've got to compare, and I want you to do this because it's a normal thing. It's a normal comparison. You don't need an interpretation of the Holy Ghost for this. You don't need to be deep in the spirit for this, what I'm about to say. You don't have to go off on a journey to Mecca, none of that. Just look around for a second and just compare how much you've done or tried to do right compared to the manifestation. And 95 to 100% of the time, it doesn't match. So I've been doing so much more, but my outcome hasn't been matching everything that I've been doing. Yes, I'm alive. Yes, you know, God is still protecting me. Yes, but the production rate, are we creating at the rate that God has intended for us to create? Are we speaking to things and things are changing like they should? Are we commanding people to get up out of their deathbed, out of their wheelchairs? Are these things that are supposed to be happening, are they happening? Let's look at the ratio. We at church every Sunday. Every Tuesday, Wednesday. With every meeting they got. And so when you look at these things, and there's nothing wrong with being on Sundays, on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, nothing wrong with it. But when you look at these things, you have to look around. You don't need no interpretation for this. Why does it not match? Why is more not getting done? Now, whether you ask the question out your mouth or you ask it in your head, it's still a question. And you can look around and say, okay, more things should be getting done. If what I know is that being born again is better, if we got a better covenant than the ones that had before us, we hear that, right? And if things are supposed to be, if we're supposed to be doing the greater works right now, what's the issue? And until you can come to that conclusion, come to that question, and begin to live from what I was like, live from that question and not live a fairy tale land, you'll never know what's going on. Much of what we call Christianity or religion is fairy tale because you're trying to do something and have something happen. And most of our prayers are like magic tricks. Alakazam, hocus pocus. Ooh, I hope it happens. Oh, God, please make something show up, and you open one eye to see if it's really going to happen. It's not how it's supposed to be. And we'll continue to be that way until we realize how simple it is and how plain it is. It's not hidden under a rock. It's not hidden in some lost scroll somewhere that we got to go find like Indiana Jones. It's nowhere. It's right there in the center, but you can't see it. And many times we don't see it because it's too simple. And the thing that it requires is very, very simple too. But the thing that it requires, we're not willing to give. Truth be told, you don't find you until you give you. You don't find your true identity until you give up the one you think you have. Been crucified with Christ. He who find his life gonna lose it. He who loses life, am I saying the gospel? Nobody's left house and land, mother's father, wife, children, land, all that stuff. But my saying the gospel will not receive 100-fold now in this time. What is Jesus referring to here? Well, surely he wants us to be married, right? Surely he believes in loving your family, loving your mother, your father, and your children. Surely he's got that in place, right? So what is he trying to say right here when he says these things? Simple. It's very simple. It's very simple. It's very simple. And the conversation is the same. It doesn't change. You can pick whatever subject you want, whatever message you want, whatever topic, whatever you want. It all goes back to the same place. Same conversation. It's very, very simple. You cannot get past the identity. Church is not a place to go. It's a person to be. Right? And it's really not church until everybody being. That means you really ain't been to church yet. Who? Yeah, you ain't never been to church in your life. Not the intended church. If church is the called out ones, the ecclesia, it says called out ones. It says called out by name to carry a name. Called out from an origin by name to carry a name. That's ecclesia, right? That's just, you've been called out from an origin, God, by name, character, personality, all that's in there, to carry that same name. And that's church. That means if you don't know who you are, and I know who I am, we still not complete. How the whole body fitly joined together and compact by every joint supplies? It's Ephesians 4, right? Yeah, but every joint compacted by that which every joint supplies. But if I'm not supplying, we ain't compacting. The body's limp. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, you know, we've gathered a lot, but are we church? Then he talked to the rich young ruler. He said, what can I do? What can I do to inherit eternal life? He said, well, have you observed the commandments? So he's talking about checking him now. He said, yeah, I've done this. I've observed the mother, father, all that stuff. I've done it from my youth. The fact that you come running to me asking for eternal life shows me that you don't know what you're talking about. So you're lacking one thing. You know the law, but you don't know you. I know that Bible, but you don't know yourself. And that's, in the beginning, he didn't create the Bible. Oh, y'all thought, go, the word Bible ain't in the Bible. Go read it in the beginning. On the sixth day, he said, let's create this book. And in this book, everybody going to figure out what they supposed to do. Bible's only pointing to you about who you really are. But if you never know, it becomes your shrine. Some people know the Bible so well it's become an idol to them. You ain't gonna hear no preacher say that to you. They know it so well it's become an idol to them. Now this becomes, they serving this now. That's how we got in trouble so much over the last thousands of years through the church. Now the church is so far off as a whole because what the law could not do, and that was weak to the flesh. God sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Now realize he didn't send a letter to fix a letter. He didn't send a book to fix a book. John 1 talks about, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among, and it says, watch this, it says, but they didn't even recognize him. They didn't even see that he was them. He showed up looking like you, and you didn't even know that was you. Still today, we didn't read about him. How long we been in church? Come on, y'all, how long we been in church? How many services have been to? Services, revivals, meetings, classes, Bible studies, come on, devotionals, prayers, come on. How many we have been to? And we still don't know. We still don't know. I was in prayer this morning. I said, we didn't pray these prayers for years, and we still don't know. We're looking at the scripture right now, and we still don't know it's talking about us. Not if we would change our minds and realize that the scripture is talking about me and telling God the real intention about who he called me to be and what my position is with him, in him, then everything would open up. But because my mind is still thinking, duty, it's still thinking that, then I never grow up into him in all things, as it says in Ephesians 4 again. He didn't give apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers for the perfecting of the saints, mature for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body built up. All these things, they've been given to teach us who we are. But how many teach us who we are? What answers to class? What did you learn? We learned more doing than being, didn't we? Tell the truth. All your years in Christendom, however long y'all watching online, however long you've been in, you learn everything to do. True? I ain't say that was bad. I ain't say nothing was wrong with learning what to do and what not to do. But if it ends there, you have no life. If it ends there, you have not fulfilled God's initial will for you as a being. And so the conversation stays the same. What you have to do, all right, let me tell you what you have to do, all right? Let me tell you what you have to do in order to always know that you be, all right? I'm going to tell you what you have to do to always know that you be, all right? You have to renewing your mind means you begin to look at things from a different perspective. Perspective is everything. So the renewal of your mind means it's not a message. It's not a hand laying on you. There ain't no all for this. Ain't no all, ain't no pass on. You can't pass this on by throwing a mantle on you or nothing. I can't pass that on. It's a personal thing. It's a personal thing to change your perspective. When my perspective changes and I begin to stop looking at what I do, but looking at who, then the doing becomes easy. Because I'm doing from my identity, not trying to do to get to an identity. Are y'all listening to me? See, you can have something, but you can be holding it backwards. Pick something. Well, turn your pen over there. Just turn it over right there. Turn it over. Now right with it. Can't do it, huh? Ain't nothing gonna. You can try it. Like, try, you can, but ain't nothing gonna show up, huh? You'll never see nothing. You'll never remember it. But is that a pen?
Yes, it is.
Okay, it's the truth. That's a pen, ain't it? Ain't no lie. That's a pen. But you're holding it wrong. And you only, watch this. Now, here's what's funny. You ready for this? She's only holding this pen wrong because I told her to. Oh, y'all better hear what I'm saying. She is only holding this pen wrong because she's trying to obey something that I'm saying as an instructor. So now, you know, you want to write? Write. All right, now see, now I might be like, hey, nah, nope, that ain't how you hold pen. But you got to know enough to say, listen, let me pay attention to what's going on. Let me have right perspective. Let me look at this thing from being. Let me look at this thing from purpose. All right, and when I got right perspective, although you told me to turn my pen back because I know ain't no ink coming out on the other end. You get it? Come on, hold something else. What else you holding? What's that? Come on, what's that? Cup?
Hammer.
A cup. Come on, hammer. What's that? Hammer. What's that? Come on, a gun. Phone. Hold your phone wrong. Go pick your phone up. Keep it that way, Jeff. Yeah, there you go. The answer. And you can't. You know what? Even if you lucked up on hitting the right button on the other side, right? You still don't know who you're talking to. Identity. Come on, y'all. Y'all better come on. But you can't even see who it is you're communicating with. Because what you have, you ain't holding it right. You got it, though. Say, I got it. Come on, say, I got it. One more time, say, I got it. So that's not a question. Not a question whether you got it. You got it. You been had it. You had it. You had it before you met me. You had it before you met whoever you think is it. You had it. You had it. You had it for you. You had it before somebody told you you had it. You had it. You came here with it. God sent you here with the package. But it's my job, your job, when we're talking to somebody else, to teach them how to hold it. Because I'm going to tell you how to hold it right. No results. Flip the pen over, and it'll be a horrible thing to be the wrote all your notes for the night. Whole hour long, ooh, wrote all the notes. It ain't nothing there. Don't it feel like you're proud sometimes? Tell the truth. Come on. Tell the truth to feel like that sometimes. Man, I done prayed all the time, and this it? Yeah, and then well, the next thing we do is do this. God, what? No, it ain't him. That's not the conversation. Ain't nothing wrong with him. You get it? I gotta see. Am I seeing like he supposed to see? Like I'm supposed to see? And every time you ask him something, he says you. Yeah, you remember Jesus? This church. You remember Jesus? Jesus didn't hand out any. And I'm saying like that for me. He didn't hand out any free miracles. Ain't no free miracles. They come get you one. Free miracles. 2-for-1 special. Come on, free miracles. No, he didn't hand out free miracles. There was something that he demanded. He told that man land on the pool, get up. Take your bed up. Now let me help you with your bed. Come on, this type of Christianity we got. Christianity we got is let me help you with your bed. Charity. Let me help you with your bed. Let me get your hand out. No, that ain't what it, no. That ain't what he said. He said, you believe? How long you been out here? What's going on? Tell me the situation. You believe? Take up your bed. And how cruel is it for you to spit in the dirt and put in a man's eyes that's already blind? First of all, just that. That's pretty cruel already, right? Like I already know everybody in the congregation, that service, or whatever you want to say around, was talking about it. And then he's going to tell the blind man to go wash. And then he tells him what pool to go wash in. So like it's like, close your eyes and tell me how many fingers I'm holding up. That don't seem fair, huh? But I'm demanding something of you because you ain't really blind. This is just what the perception is, because you don't see you. They got more of us need dirt and spit put in eyes. Huh? You know what's in dirt and spit? Your makeup. Spit got DNA in it. There's DNA of Jesus, and the dirt is what you came from. Y'all better pay attention to what's going on. Perspective. We need this perspective put in our eyes. To know who we really are. Everything is leading to your identity. Come on, say everything is leading to my identity. So watch this, everything outside of you is a parable. Every single thing outside of your physical right now being is a parable. Every person, every situation, every conversation, all of that is a parable. It's all a parable, something to learn. And you're learning you. If the perspective was right, if the perspective was right, then I can play my position, right? I can play my position better, and I can be this instead of trying to be something. I'm trying to figure something out. I am already. Say, I am already. Now, whatever position, you're already that. God has set you up. You already got that in you. I am already. So I have to stop having this. I got to learn how to faith. I got to go get it, faith. Say, I am already.
I am.
See, but I just got to stop that. I got to go get it, faith.
I got
to
stop
it. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because that's where we waste the time at. And even on the journey to go get it, we don't get it. Mm-hmm. You go, they tell you to go get it over here. You go over there to get it, it ain't over there. It's like, they tell you go over there and get it. You go over here, then they say, nah, you need to go over there. That's the law. They say, no, you need to go over there. They say, no, you need to go over there. And so now, you done went to 4 or 5 places, and then that fifth place you done got to, tell you to come back to the place you started at. And the whole time, the thing that you're looking for is you. You're going to the store to pick up you. You got you already, but you're going to get you. You have to understand. The subject of the story is you. Not your idea of you. His idea of you. And the conversation is going to remain the same. It doesn't change. This is church. Upon this rock, in Matthew 16, he said, upon this rock. He said, who do men say that I am? He's talking about the Christ, Son of the living God. And he's asking these questions for a reason. He's asking, well, who do men say that I am? He's asking for a reason because he's trying to see where your head at. He's trying to gauge you, trying to see who you're listening to. You're listening to men, or is God revealing? Because if God is revealing, you're going to see something else. You listen to men, you're going to be left with what they got. I don't care what man it is. You're going to be left with what they got. And you'll always be needing them to lead you somewhere. Y'all better listen to what I'm trying to tell y'all. You better hear. The children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because they didn't know that they was the ones. So it took them 40 years because they didn't know it was them. They were looking for the promised land. They didn't know they were the promised land. They didn't know wherever they were, that's the promise. I said this before. When the quail fall and die right where you at to feed you because you ain't got no markets. Sound like the promised land to me. Water coming out of a rock. Sound like wherever you are, that's where the promise at. Sounds like wherever you are, that's what's important to God. But because you thinking of, you've been taught about a journey for so long, and you've been taught that it's somewhere else other than with you. He's going to use somebody else other than you. I've been taught that for so long. Right? Now I'm talking overall. See, I hope the whole complete, I can say this with 100% satisfaction in my heart that I know I'm telling the truth, that the whole complete body of Christ need an overhaul on their message. Because we've been skipping over it. In John 5:39 says, search the scriptures. He said, for in them you think you have eternal life. Right? And he said, and, I thought you'd say but he said, and they are they which testify of me. Now he's not pointing to another scripture. You know, you ever look, I don't know, when you got a minister, sometimes you look up a scripture and then you see a little reference and the thing that tell you to go to another one, so now you got your three little scriptures together to preach your message. You took them all out of context. You don't know what you're talking about, but they had the same word that's matching. Right? And you know, you say, out of two, three witnesses, let every word be established. Huh? Witness or witnesses see something. Like two, three people have seen something, let the truth be established. Right? If you ever get to him, I was about to say when, but I'm going to say if you ever get to him, if you ever get to Jesus, he's not here pointing you towards somebody else. Oh, Jesus, I heard this stuff, man. You have to be careful. You have to be mindful of your words and mindful of your delivery and what message you're delivering. You used to hear this, you know, Jesus pointing towards the Father. Right? So we say, oh, yeah, well, Jesus is pointing towards God. So now Jesus saved you. Thank you, big brother. And then we point towards God, but don't realize God and Jesus is one. So he says, I'm in the Father in me. He said, when you see me, you see. And when I see you, I see. This is what he's trying to tell them. But they can't conceive it. Because it's been so long ritualized. Ain't no blessing till Sunday. Some people say Sunday ain't even a real Sabbath day. Come on, who are we talking about? Huh? Who's Sunday? All right, Monday. All right. 7 days of the week. Start with Sunday. Sunday, first day of the week. Go. Then we start off again. What, y'all realize where those names come from?
Yeah.
Oh, Roman gods. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, all those are Roman god names. Oh, no, it's the truth. No, Sunday is the Lord's Day. How you going to name the Lord's Day after another god? Y'all better understand. I am. Everybody say I am. I mean, right now. Now faith is. Ain't no other day. Ain't no special service. Ain't can't wait till the revival. I am the revival. How you go to revival and still be dead? Either you're revived or you alive. Y'all better hear me. This is the truth. This is plain, simple truth. This is what Jesus is teaching. And so a lot of times they couldn't understand what he was teaching because they were looking from a different perspective. They were looking for something else. Give us something else. Give us some special words. Huh? Give us a gifting. Give us a mission. It's you. It's been you the whole time. The plan has been you the whole time. No, let's go back to Genesis. You ain't got to turn that. What was the plan? God created everything, and he said, you know what? Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. And he's going to have dominion and everything, just like us. So I'm going to go, you know what? Just take the dust, the dirt that I made. Let me form, because this is how I want to look. And I'm going to breathe myself into him. And he's become a mini me, a living soul. We ain't get over these books till we start getting smart on our own. Till we get to the tree of knowledge. You know, the tree of knowledge is the tree of law. I mean, this is where the law begins. Yeah. And ever since that time, we forgot our identity. We've been identifying with everything else but Christ, but being one with God. Even like now we're hearing it and we still scared to say it. Come on, say I'm one with God. But see, we even like, then you get home, like, God, I'm going to yield it to you. I'm under you. You're going to be yielded to God and be one with God at the same time. Matter of fact, that's how you become one with God, when you yield to him. I'm a servant of the Most High God. You think you're saying something spiritual. He said, Jesus, I don't call you servants no more. I call you friends. He said, because servants don't know what the Lord is doing. Neither could he ever know. Servant. One of the most, Matthew 16, he says, who the men? What's your perspective? Some say thou art John the Baptist, or Elias, or one of the prophets. That's perspective, right? And most likely we'd have had the same thing, because we so superstar driven. Oh my God. We don't even know how much of idol worshipers we are. We have no idea. If I could really talk about it like I want to talk about it, we have no idea how much idol worship we do. It's almost ridiculous. We'd have done it with Jesus too. We would have done it. Yes. And right now, even 2,000 years later, we're going to be like, come on, touch me, please. Come on. Somebody caught a revelation in the Gospels. Somebody caught a revelation that they had the right to do it too, and they went and do it. Because remember, they come running and tell Jesus, they got people that are casting out demons in your name. Now, they're not with us. So they wasn't with us, and that means, right? Well, how y'all knew that was possible to do? Cast them out in your name. Now, they don't mean they're saying in Jesus' name. Name is a character. So the way that they function is just like how you function. See, disciples, got jealous. Because they got people over there doing it. We can't do it. Not only we can't, so stop them, because they're going to make us look bad. You know why they killed Jesus? They killed Jesus because if we let this man keep going, they're going to start following after him. They're going to start realizing. So they come trying to convince Jesus, and we got to go shut them down. Jesus said, no. If they ain't against us, they for us. Somebody caught a revelation of who they was. And this is church. Who do men say that I am? He said, but who do you? Now it gets personal. Now when I ask, I walk in the room and I said, what's the distance in this, right? But then I go and say, no, you answer this. Answer this question. Then it becomes what? Huh? I can't hear you. What it becomes what? Personal. You become singled out. And it becomes personal. And now that answer becomes your responsibility. Can't nobody answer that for you now. Because I asked you. The pressure is in the class. It gets a little different when the spotlight put on. Everybody can yell out the answer. No, when the spotlight put on, you get to sweating. Figuring out what's going on. Say, but who you? That's why everybody couldn't answer that. They only had one person answer, Peter. Because he the only one that has some kind of slightly thinking. Well, I got enough nerve to say. He thought what? The Christ. So the living God. Now saying that to Jesus says, oh, you get it. That's why Jesus said, oh, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood could not reveal this, but my Father which is in heaven. In other words, you must have been hearing from my Father. And if you heard my Father say that I was the one, you knew he was telling you, you the one too. So he says, and thou art Peter, you too. Mm-hmm. And upon this rock. Now, what's the rock? See, oh, here's the rock. You ready? Your Jesus is the rock, right? He the rock, ain't he? He ain't the rock by himself. Him being the rock, he the rock. What they got to do with you? The rock for you is realizing that he the rock, and if you say thou art the Christ, I am the Christ. Because if you can identify me, you've identified yourself. That's what Jesus says. If you ever identify me, you've identified yourself. And upon this rock, I'll build my. The connection of identity. I mean, Jesus said, I know who I am already. Who are you? Well, you are great. You do miracles so great. I know. That's how I would answer. That's what Jesus answered. When we sing, no, Jesus answered just like that. You are great. You do miracles. I understand. I know. You. What about you? I wonder what the song singing back to us would be. You ever wonder what the reply would be? You ever sing worship and wonder what the reply would be? Something to think about. No, we hadn't, huh? Because perspective. We learned to just throw them all up there. All of the worship. And we just throw it all up there. And just hope he's happy with us. We never considered a relationship. What if he sing back to you, and I said it before, that you are great, you do miracles so great. There's no one else like you. You know that song, huh? You are great, you do miracles so great, there's no one else like you. There is no, which is crazy to sing that, there's no one else like you anyway, because we're made in his image. Right? What was he singing back to you? No. You are great. He probably gonna sing in a better voice. He probably got a way better voice than we got, right? And we be singing, we making joyful noises. And he sing back there, you are great, you do miracles so great, there's no one else like you. Because this is true. The conversation remains the same. It's really not a hyped up message. It's not a... The message of Christ as identity is one of those messages that hit you when you're by yourself. And you're like, oh my God. It don't hit you while you're in church. Most of the time while you're in church or while you're in service or when you're listening to it, it's such a mind blow because you already come to expect a certain thing. So you're like, it's really a judgment message. It's like a message that it's judgment because you're going to judge whoever's saying it the whole time. Like, is that really, let me go see if that's really what it means, right? Then it's going to hit you when you get it home. And you're going to see it. Oh, my God, then you'll be on fire. Then the fire won't be temporal. That you done picked up in a crowd because you was excited. Mm-hmm. Or because everybody was emotional. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. But it'd be a fire that remains and unquenchable. Out of our belly should flow rivers. Mm-hmm. You can't turn a river on and off. Either it's flowing or it ain't. Mm-hmm. River ain't like a faucet. Mm-hmm. When the river start flowing, you can't turn that boy off. There's one chapter, and the conversation remains the same, and I'll leave you. But this is one chapter, and it's chronically overlooked. It's chronically overlooked, and it's very, very simple. God, what's your will? You ever pray and ask God what his will was? Come on, answer me. Yeah. Right? Yeah. For what? You don't gonna tell you something else? You know he's hiding something from us. All right, watch this. We think God keeping something from us. There's a mystery that he's keeping from us. God keeping something from us. He got a will that he keeping from us. Why would you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children? How much more your heavenly Father? You ask for bread, he give you a rock? No. You ask for a fish, he going to give you a serpent? No. Why would he be hiding something from you? Well, I'm not ready. No, no. Are you ready or are you not ready? Well, you see, you're not ready to understand that it's just you. God, what's your will? Jesus, what's your plan? We pray that prayer in Ephesians, that I may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the reason, you know, that I may know that the eyes of my understanding be enlightened, right? All it's trying to tell you is that your eyes of your understanding be enlightened to what he kept on telling you already, that you are already. It's almost like a lot of times we pray secondhand. It's like, I'm asking me, son, hey, what Jeff think about this? But Jeff's sitting right there. Why don't I go ask Jeff? No, let me ask you, right? And then you be the person to ask, right? What Jeff think about this? And then Jeff sitting there talking about, he don't see me sitting right here? So I gotta be. Yeah. Right? In the second hand. We used to play this little game, me and some of my friends. You'd be like, somebody say something. I used to do it past Jeremiah. We'd be clowning, he'd do it with me. And somebody would say something. I was like, Jeremiah, tell her, please, that, right? Because I just wouldn't answer direct. The person be sitting right there. I say, tell her, I don't want to answer that question right now, right? The second hand. So we're praying about secondhand things that Jesus told us firsthand. That the eyes of my understanding be enlightened, I may know what his hope is calling. Well, I know what the hope of his calling is already. I know what the hope is calling. I don't need to. I know the hope. I know what he hoped for when he calling. He calling for me. He hope I recognize. He hope that I see. He hope one day I slow down and stop looking like everybody else. And I stop saying it like everybody else says it. And he hopes that I would see. That he says is in you. The kingdom of God is within. Hope of his calling. That's what I'm calling for that. John 17. You need to read it, commit to your life. Jesus prays prayer right before he goes. Seems like an important practice. We didn't see Jesus pray a lot. Right? We didn't hear his physical prayer. But this one, it charted out his prayer. And he said, Father, he didn't pray. He didn't say, Lord, I thank you for healing everybody that you gave me out the world. I thank you for prospering everybody. He didn't say none of that. He said, Lord, I pray that they be one, like me and you are one. I pray they realize we won. That was the prayer. Yep. Much of our prayers are secondhand wishes in the air. We slow down. I keep on telling people, we're getting them gospel and see what Jesus, the real word, saying. Because then he starts telling you God's will. And then one day you're going to be sitting in the house and be like, what? You mean tell me I've been running around looking for this? And it's been right here the whole time? Yep, exactly what I'm telling you. And the message is going to be the same. Y'all come back to class next week? I'm going to talk about the same thing. I'm going to talk about the same exact thing. There ain't going to be nothing different.